This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, this one is for you today or whenever you're listening to this. This is a Vanderpump Rules recap, season 11, episode 9. We are delving deeper and deeper into hell. That is right, folks. We've got a full recap ahead of us. So get ready to get knocked off your coal mining asses, because this one is going to be wild. This was a supersized episode. That's when they really want to screw you. You think you can feel miserable with an hour episode? They throw an hour and a half episode out of you. That's true misery. And we keep coming back for more. So we'll get into all that. How are you guys? Are you good? I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, castmates Bria and Jasmine. On Tuesday, we had the amazing Jolene Lunzer giving us a state of the Vanderpump Rules union yesterday. And then Monday, of course, Kempire. So these are great episodes. I am so lucky to be able to talk to the people that I do. But now it is just me and you trying to figure this out. I'm slowly losing my mind over the last 4 years. And I think by the end of this season, I will have fully snapped. So we're going to do this recap of Vanderpump Rules today and then come back Friday for a full recap of The Valley, Season 1, Episode 2. And I will be sharing some of the details of my night at Jax's Studio City, Jax's Saloon, his old saloon where he charges $16 for a scoop of beer cheese. I'll talk about my run-in with Jax and Kristen Doty and Luke and that whole gang. I got to meet, got to hang out, I've met many times, Mary Payne from the Pink Shade podcast. Love her podcast and her producer Ingrid, and that was a blast. I talked a little bit about it on Patreon today. Hello, baddies over there. But I'll give you some, I'll give you a lot of dirt on Friday with that, because that fits more with The Valley. But it was, there were some pretty funny moments, and I keep thinking about certain conversations I had, which I want to tell you about. But we got a lot of stuff to do today, so we're going to hop right in. I do want to say I had a couple cameos that I did that I wanted to shout out as well. Melissa, happy birthday. I sent you a cameo yesterday. You just had your birthday. Your husband gave you a cameo, and I loved your husband's message about you so much, and I wanted to say happy birthday on here. I hope you're doing good. I think you enjoy these, so I wanted to give you a shout out. And also, I wanted to give a shout out to Courtney. I gave her a pep talk on. Can you imagine asking for a pep talk from me? But I tried to do one. So Courtney, I hope that helped. We never hear from Courtney again. She's like, well, obviously there's just no hope for anybody after that pep talk. Listen, I will never tell you how to live your life. I barely know how to live mine. But I will say I really enjoy talking about Vanderpump Rules. I also want to say, and Jolene Lunzer, who I talked to yesterday, is great at this. And I wanted to kind of do the same thing, is just remind you guys, I like to, this is like a lot of joking about these people and this show. There's more of a humorous bent. I will tell you exactly how I feel. We might have disagreements. you might completely be enraged by certain opinions I have, but that's okay. Everybody can have their own take on this. This is my take. This is how I see it. I also, after the recap, I want to talk about the Vanderpump Rules after show that's on Peacock, because there was so much information on there this week that it was mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing. I mean, truly, I'm going to give you some of the details after we do the recap, because the episode was pretty good, and then I went to the after show, and I was slack-jawed. I was like, zoinks, oh my God, what? There was so much information where I was like, how are you not putting this into the show? I was thinking about the art of storytelling, as you do when you watch a show like Vanderpump Rules. And I was listening to this this great movie director, Edward Zwick. He has a fantastic memoir out right now about his career. And he was talking about the art of storytelling, you know, and that the audiences, you know, we are smarter than a lot of media will give us credit for. Is that sometimes you don't have to explain so much to the audience because we're already there. You don't have to tell us everything because we already sometimes assume something going into a scene. And I was thinking about the challenge of Vanderpump Rules in this season and in this day and age, because we have so much information. We almost have more information than the show itself. So like I always talk about that 360 viewing experience, that it's not just the show anymore. It's the podcast. It's the horrible New York Times interviews. It's all of these things on top of the show. And we used to say about storytelling is that you want to show. You don't want to tell. You want to show. You want to show the action. You don't want to tell. But it's hard because you can't. Like, this isn't a documentary. You kind of have to plan ahead in a certain sense. And you want to try to get real moments, but it's nearly impossible. But I will say there are still some mind-blowing elements. Like, how are we just finding out now that Schwartz drunkenly, like, tried to make out with Sheena in Vegas over a decade ago? Like, what is going on? Like, can we maybe sit, like, have a corporate meeting with all the cast and the crew and the executives and say, hey, real quick, we're planning ahead on the next couple of seasons. Who the fuck fucked each other here? Just tell us now, because we are going to find out. Like, did Schwartz just decide, like, listen, my boy Sandoval's been having a hard season. I was going to take this to the grave, but I guess I'll head it out. I tried to make out with Sheena. Yeah. How is this just coming out now? And it scares the hell out of me because I'm like, what don't we know? What don't we know? Who has Ken made out with?
I tried to make out with Ariana in the jacuzzi. I can't believe I did that, Lisa. Please forgive me.
Like, what is, like, was Lisa like, Nick Lane, we were putting together Wolf in beautiful Tahoe, and it's such a sexy environment, the sexiest restaurant to work at, and it was just so passionate. I had to grab Nick Lane, and we just started making out. It was so sexual. I'm just so scared. Like, how we've sat on that? Like, Sheena will tell us information about everything, but she sat on that? Was that like a, in case of emergency, break the glass and tell this? I would, and this Max Boyens. This, we find out that Katie potentially did the hippity-dippity with Max Boyens. And I want to remind you, Max used to be a cast member for one season. It didn't go well. But this Max now has thrown down with so many of the Vanderpump Rule. I mean, this guy is a undercover legend. Remember Dana Cathan, who was on that one season? They were hooking up. And then remember Kristen Doty and Max Boyens hooked up. Sheena, of course, also enjoyed Max Boyens. Remember, bought him the Apple Watch. Obviously, he got the Apple Watch in exchange for being able to track him on Apple products, which we find out that Sheena has the location set for 56 people. I will say I've offered Sheena my location and she doesn't want it. She's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, oh, sure. I mean, I don't, you know, like, who knows? No, I'm good. Brock's like, I don't take it. I want your location, Ryan, really? That, I mean, so much little pieces of insanity that we'll get into. But the Max Boyens of it all, are we just like, Katie Maloney, what the? And Kate, by the way, this is also hysterical of the discourse around this of like, how dare Katie? Really? It's back on the woman again? Wait, we're not like, how dare Schwartz? I'm telling you, Schwartz just comes off better on television. He's a fun hang. So we forgive him so much more. But like, Katie is like, how long have they been divorced now? It's been a couple of years on top of the separation. And like, how many times did Schwartz, like, I don't know, make out cheat, hookup cheat? It wasn't just the Sheena one. It was like multiple instances. Remember that? Was it the trip to Cabo or something? Remember when he got hammered and then he went on? Like, there were a slew of instances that Katie actually had to stand up for herself for. And also the after show, I'm telling you, you're going to be enraged, because even Sandoval's like, dude, it's kind of like, I think Katie threw herself at Max, dude. You know, I just love that when it's positioned as like, Max couldn't help it, man. Like, he tried to escape, but Katie was just so domineering. Like, Max literally went to Katie's place. And then it was like, she gave him a full glass of scotch. Like, oh no. Like, I just love how it's positioned. It's so insane. Also, congratulations goes out to Ariana Maddox. She was named as the new host for Love Island. Which I hate this. I don't brag about myself a lot. Like, I always make fun of myself. In fact, I feel comfortable making fun of all of these people because I say always that I'm the number one dork. Then I'll make fun of everybody else. But I said this multiple times last year that I think Ariana would be an excellent host and she would end up hosting Love Island one day. I said it multiple times and it came true. Now, Sarah Hyland from Modern Family was the initial host for Love Island for 2 seasons, the USA version. I became a fan of the UK version a couple of seasons ago, and it's a time commitment, but it's really fantastic. Sarah Hyland, unfortunately, I think has another shoot that she was doing within that time frame, so couldn't do this season. And Ariana had already done like a guest hosting thing on Love Island. So I thought, yeah, this isn't exactly what you need to do. Is that Ariana just, and for me, for you out there, what you do through times of trouble is just keep your head down and just work. People are going to throw shit at you. People are going to levy insults at you. Just keep your head down and work. Do the work. And people are going to hate you regardless. You know, it's like, but that's all Ariana's doing. Ariana's not in the Instagram stories going like, fuck Lala. No, she's just working. Like, I think that's the only thing, you know, just do the work. And she is doing the work. So I am so proud of that fact, is that she's not getting caught up in some of this bullshit. Like, they're trying to bring her into it right and left. And she's been really, I mean, like, I don't think I could be nearly as strong or patient with some of the shit that I'm reading and seeing out there. But yeah, just keep your head down, man. You got a $1.6 million house. You finally did that. You get to finally move out. You got Broadway. What a dream. And now you get to do a hosting thing. Now everybody says, well, does this mean she's off Vanderpump Rules season 12? I will say, now remember, Love Island is an NBC Universal production as well. So this is within the same family as Bravo. It's all connected. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying from a business standpoint, of somebody that's read the trades since I was a kid, is that I think there is a world in which that there would be a, I don't know, and I don't, like, I have no information on this at all, but I would also imagine, since it's NBC Universal, there's a sweetening of the pot. Like, if you're the host over here at Love Island, you're amazing, could we then get you to sign up for season 12 of Vanderpump Rules? But at the same time, I don't know if Vanderpump Rules season 12, I don't know if Ariana needs that. I think at a certain point, it is, but I love that I say, like, hey, big thought here. Maybe the environment's toxic. Has anybody ever thought about that? Has anybody stopped to think that maybe this isn't good for anybody's overall mental health? But at the same time, it's a paycheck. It is a paycheck. You just have to put up with all the bullshit surrounding that paycheck. And I guess at the end of the day, when you're trying to retire someday, it, you know, it probably makes everything a little bit better, but It's just a tornado of negativity all the time. Every Tuesday night, it's like something new. But so many funny moments in this as well, which we'll get into. I want to thank Juliana Carosa, who is back to taking notes on Vanderpump Rules. She started this week, and oh my God, she is just incredible. I was going over her notes while I was watching it for a third time. And I love her so much. So thank you, Juliana Carosa. She was doing the Beverly Hills notes. And that ended. And so she asked to do Vanderpump Rules. And I was like, listen, if you want that kind of misery, but she's always amazing. So thank you, Juliana. And thank you to you guys for coming here. Let's have fun with this today. And reminder, come back on Friday for the Valley, which is actually fun. I was at the Jackson Saloon and I was talking to Dodie and I said, it is funny covering the Valley because you're only on the first episode. And even though it's like, it's the valley's already relatively dark and toxic. It is more fun to recap because I don't have the insane amount of negative feelings that I do for Vanderpump Rules yet for the valley. I'm sure we'll get there by episode four. I mean, there's already some really ridiculous things, but it almost seems like a fun little Disney TV show, you know, like, woo, this is all sweet and fun. And it's in the valley, bright and sunny, instead of the misery of Tom Sandoval doing breath work in his living room and feeding Maya 500 laxative pills and hair coloring. What the fuck is that? Can we call the ASPCA? My God, are we still going to argue that this man is not thinking about himself 24/7? I'm sorry, dude. That was obviously a mistake, man. Maya needed to lose weight too, dude. Like, poor Maya. Anytime I see the dog now in the show, I'm literally like, is this dog running out to shit somewhere? Like, the dog is just like, what is going on, man? Why are you leaving hair coloring all around? You're a grown man. I almost ate one of your makeup sticks. So help me God. Okay, this is the description the cable company gives us. The episode titled is called Kiss Kiss Revenge Bang. So obviously a play on the movie Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I love that movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. Oh, so good. This is Kiss Kiss Revenge Bang. Obviously, Katie Maloney and Max Boyens, potentially, and then Kiss Kiss, the Sheena and Schwartz. And this is the description. Schwartz makes a startling revelation to Lala about a past hookup that sends Katie spiraling. Was Katie spiraling? Katie seemed pretty chill about it. Like, spiraling? Katie was like, well, I should be more shocked, but I guess I'm not. James, DJ James Kennedy, hosts a DJ night at Hotel Ziggy. Ariana and Katie encounter new issues in opening their sandwich shop. And Brock drops a bombshell about a recent liaison. And then we get the previously on Vanderpump Rules. We have a scene with Ariana and Katie talking about Tom wanting to buy her out. And Katie's like, if he has that money, go buy something else. And then that scene with Schwartz and Joe, you know, very quickly becoming one of my favorite characters in reality television. I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place, from the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. And we'll talk about Joe because I have not really complicated feelings. I do have to say I feel bad about that, the Hotel Ziggy and her being picked on. But I also say at the end of the day, you know, and I've said this now multiple times, a lot of this falls on Schwartz, man. Schwartz should not put her in this lion's den. This is a pit of vipers. Everybody, every one of these cast members at one point, including Ariana, has been a pit of vipers. Like, that is just how it is. Like, so Joe knows what she has gone into. And also, Joe did what she did. You know, Joe pretended she was friends with Katie, ended up hooking up with Schwartz. That's like, whatever. But then on top of it, she knew full damn well what was going on with the artist formerly known as Raquel and Sandoval. They were literally going on double dates. And I'm sorry, keep lying all you want. Schwartz, Joe, keep lying all you want, but they, you knew, period. And for you to play both sides, Joe, that's why you're not going to get like this welcome introduction. You probably wouldn't have gotten like a big open arm welcome anyways, because you're a newbie, but like, I'm sorry. Yes. And it sucks. ADHD sucks. I have it myself. I understand that, but yes, your behavior is bizarre. I'm sure you've been told that your entire life, and hopefully you can lean into that as it seems like you have, and you have your tribe of people. But don't play both sides of the fence. Don't do spooky behavior and then expect to be loved by everybody. I mean, listen, you only seem to want to be loved by one person, Schwartz, and he's given you what he can. He's given you what he can. Anyways, we have that scene with Schwartz. He's like, by the way, everyone in my life, whenever I bring you around, you know, I say, and Joe's like, you'll be like, oh, is this my sister? And Schwartz is like, that's really weird because some people know that we've had sex. And then Joe's like, pull my finger. And then, of course, we had the Allie and Joe scene last week. Now, Allie plays it right. Allie might think Joe's a little weird, but also says, hey, I want to be inclusive, you know, and Allie's new to the group as well. I love how Allie comes about this, but Allie's like, yeah, man, I'm friends with Ariana. I'm friends with Katie. I want you to feel welcome in this group. And then in that scene last week where Sandoval cried in his closet with the door open, even though he could have shut it, but he wanted the camera to see, Schwartz is like, you're down bad, brother. You're at the tail end of this. Dude, no, that is not even remotely accurate, dude. You have no idea what kind of interviews I'm going to give after we wrap filming. I'm going to do the New York Times. I'm going to do the Nick File. So no, dude, this is not even remotely close to being over. We have the scene with DJ James Kennedy to Sandoval in Tahoe where he's like, hey, you don't think if you were smart enough, you could have ended things with Ariana and actually made things work out? And just Sandoval's just looking at him like, what? What are you saying, dude? I mean, that would have been another, like, Sandoval has all of these opportunities just like served him on a silver platter. It would have been a literal thing of all Sandoval had to say in that moment of like, I'm just a coward in some ways. And I'm so scared. And I did something really bad and I'm human. And I don't know. I mean, it's just the fight in him to still defend something that is kind of indefensible and then to keep doubling and tripling down. And in a sense, it's working. Like, production really has given this man all of the tools and opportunities. And like I said yesterday, it seems like they're bringing more people on. Or maybe I said this on the Patreon today. It seems like they're bringing all of these people on to go against Ariana. It's like a who's who of rogue villains, like a rogues gallery of villains to come in and kind of support Sandoval and kind of like in subtle ways talk shit about Ariana. It's funny. It's like they are really backing Sandoval in so many ways. And I think that, I mean, I just really ask you yourselves what you would do in that situation. Lala, of course, on that fight on the boats is like, yo, dude, you have still yet to say it was fucked up for me to say that you needed to be real while I was fucking my girl's best friend. And Sandoval's like, because it was fucking 6 years of it, Lala. And then Sheena to Sandoval in that scene last week at the bar. And Sheena actually made a point and says, if you could just take your ego out, and Sandoval with, you know, the ombre nail polish was like, it's not an ego thing, dude. And then we got the ultimate villain, Jax Taylor, back at the very end of Vanderpump Rules last week. And he's like, you don't think you need to humble yourself a little bit? You are literally a disgrace, brother. And then Schwartz to Sandoval goes, you need a little love. It's time to heal. And that is where we start with the montage. These are the best days of our lives. And we start the song plays. It's like, let's go. Yeah, easy like that. When I put down, down, don't play it round, round. Put it down, down. I never stress. Never settle for less. Never settle for less. Now I'm going to take it all. A jet flies overhead DJ James Kennedy's domicile in Burbank. DJ James Kennedy is nosing around Allie's closet with Hippie the dog helping him. And James is like, sit. Good boy, Hippie. Okay, do you think Mama's gonna look good in this? He's literally putting together Allie's outfit. He's like Kanye West used to do for Kim Kardashian. And Allie's like, are you picking out my clothes? Yes, me and Hippie are picking clothes out for you. Hey, mister, don't you hop on her, Hippie. Take a seat, take a seat. Sit, sit, sit. And Allie's like, that's cute, I like this. And James is like, what about this? A little Barbie moment. He's holding up a white dress and a pink purse. And Allie and a talking head's like, listen, I'm not a shopper. So James, he picks out my clothes. He steams my dresses for me. This is very Tom Sandoval. I'm now watching for like warning, like red flags for the future. Like, this seems like Tom Sandoval's like, dude, if I'm dressing like a Star Wars Jedi, I'm going to need you to dress like Princess Leia, dude. James is like, hey, who did you invite tonight for my DJ gig at Hotel Ziggy? Did you end up inviting Joe? I did. Really? That's good. From what I've seen of her, like, you know, in person, she seems very nice. Like, she's a little bit, like, she says some weird stuff sometimes. And Allie's like, yeah, but she's sweet. Like, I'm not trying to be besties with her. I'm not going to, like, share my secrets with her. Which, Allie, what are those secrets? Will you tell us? But she's like, I want to still have her feel comfortable coming to things, like, with Schwartz. This is a great attitude to have, Allie. I love it. James and a talking head's like, tonight, I'm DJing at Hotel Ziggy. It's going to be the Woodstock of this generation on Sunset Boulevard. There's no like you can come and you cannot come. Everyone is always invited to my parties. I will show up, DJ crew, DJ equipment, and a crowd, and you will have the best business your place has seen in a long time, guaranteed, or your money back. I think DJ James Kennedy is going to end up selling term life insurance. Have you ever thought about the loss of a loved one? Well, with Fidelity Term Life Insurance, you no longer have to worry. Allie goes, yeah, I think the last time we were there was when I had that awkward first meetup with Raquel. So that was last season, was at Hotel Ziggy as well. Hotel Ziggy, obviously, just a very, you know, very haunted place itself now. We get a flashback to 1 year ago. We actually see the artist formerly known as Raquel. Rachel goes rogue. We see her. They actually can use her image because she signed the contract. And we flash back to that scene where DJ James Kennedy is like, why is Raquel fucking pulling Allie aside for a conversation? Oh, right there, Lola. And Allie to Raquel's like, I appreciate your guys' relationship because he would have been completely different if he didn't have you. And you can tell Raquel was like, what the fuck? Huh? And James is like, a lot's changed since then. That's for damn sure. And Allie's like, everything's changed since then. And Hippie's like, and DJ James Kennedy's like, literally everything. And then we zoom on over to Studio City, over to Ariana and Tom's dungeon in Valley Village. And Sandoval has his white noise machine, like, it's in front of his bedroom door. And, you know, our favorite Billy Lee, our resident kiss ass Billy Lee walks in the room, goes, hi. And Sandoval's like, yo, dude, what's up? How's it going? It's like clean in here. Yeah, ish. Yeah. Oh, every time I come or go from your house, I get so fucking nervous. Why? Because Ariana, is she coming to Hotel Ziggy? I don't know, dude. I mean, James is DJing there, so I would imagine that he invited her. And Billy Lee's like, I'm going to bring my girl T. What? I love, this is the girl that at the weirdo pool party, the Boogie Nights pool party last episode. Billy Lee's like, what about my friend T, huh? Have you ever, like, listen, I know you're trying to be supportive of your friend Tom Sandoval, I guess, you know, whatever. Even with, like, even if you're trying to be supportive, like, the shit watching him do in the pool party with those two random girls, like, all that shit, and you're still like, hey, this is my friend T. She's down to, like, hook up with you. I'm like, why would you ever put your friend in this, in this? Like, that's just doesn't feel like good friend. Like, Tom has not been exhibiting anything, even on a casual level, that I would be like, you know who I should hook Tom up with? You know who's good? You know who would be good with Tom right now? Like, if my friend was like, listen, would you ever date Tom Sandoval? And I'd be like, right now? Like, after all this? Yeah. Like, you know, because you can't be like, super good guy, amazing. Like, what are you, like, you just said, like, do you like karaoke music? Like, what would you say to get your friend to go along? But I just love it. It's like, why are you pimping out your friend T? And Sandoval's like, oh, yeah, dude. OK, cool. And we flash back to 6 days earlier at Tom's swinging single pool party. And Billy Lee at the pool is like, yeah, if he's so fucking evil, then why are you continuing to live here across the hall? And the pool girls giggle like, Billy Lee, this is why you should be scared of Ariana, because you shit talk her. Why would anybody, why would she, this is what, like, you shit talk her. Like, I also don't, still, you're never going to get me to understand of, like, Tom did the bad deed. Maybe he should leave for a while and be like, totally get it, dude. I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm going to go crash at Schwartz's for, like, a couple months. Like, just, you know, like it's just weird. But the onus obviously falls on Ariana because she's a woman. Sandoval's like in the pool. He's like, sorry, we're talking about my roommate. It's not a big deal, dude. It's just my ex-girlfriend. Yeah, it was a short relationship. It was like 10 years. Ba-dum-bump. Hey, tip your waiters out there, everybody. Billy Lee in this scene is like, not that you need to jump into another relationship. It's literally just very casual. And Sandoval's like, I mean, I did just wash my sheet. So, and then Billy Lee's like, oh, this isn't funny. Like, what? It's not, there's not it. Like, Billy Lee is allegedly a comedian, like a stand up. Like, this isn't funny. Like, I washed my sheets. Like, hey, thanks for offering up your friend for sex. Tell her I washed my sheets. And Billy Lee's like, amazing, Tom. Amazing. Hey, is this Richard Pryor? We got a Dave Chappelle in our midst. Billy is like, only if you don't like live with your ex-girlfriend and you could have people over. And Santa was like, everybody has roommates, dude. Come on, it's LA. And Billy Lee's like, I think there's like living with your mom and then like living with your ex-girlfriend. And Santa was like, which one is worse, do you think? And Billy Lee's like, definitely ex-girlfriend. And Sandoval chuckles. It's just, it's good old-fashioned fun. Sandoval's like, well, look, dude, I don't know what's going on with Ariana, but I love this house. It's a great house. I like that he's talking about it like Steve Martin at the beginning of Father of the Bride. I'm like, I love this house. I raised my family in this house. And now my daughter's going to get married in the backyard. He's talking about it like it's all like, just like, doo-doo-doo, like, I just, so weird. It's like, I love this house, dude. I fuck Raquel for the first time in the driveway of this house. So many magical moments. So many mushrooms have been done in this house. But anyway, Sandoval's like, dude, I offered Ari, like, the ball's in Ariana's court, dude. Sandoval and a talking head says, about 2 months ago, I had my lawyers draft a letter of intent to buy Ariana out of the house for top market value. Sandoval to Billy Lee goes, she just has to respond to an email, like, so we just have some sort of plan of action. Sandoval and the talking head says, it's been made very, very clear to her that she will get a check for the entire amount and be able to walk away free and clear. And I haven't heard anything back. Now, this sounds like pretty good, right? Go watch the after show. Ariana gets more into this as well. And so hopefully we'll get to that because I can explain this. Also, Tom can say whatever he wants. Like, Tom will be able to, like, he can literally, like, I've offered her double the price. And we're just, guys, this isn't the case. Billy Lee goes, can't you knock on her fucking door? Maybe slide a note under there? Oh, what, Billy Lee? Along with the potato chips he made a big joke out of with those two random girls last week? I threw some potato chips under the door. Could I ever lock in a bedroom? We breeze down the hall to Ariana's room where she's putting on makeup and she's FaceTiming with Tom's assistant, Anne. And Anne's like, hi. And Ariana's like, hi. Oh my God, I'm getting ready for Taylor Swift. And, you know, I think Anne deserves a break. Taylor Swift is always good. I mean, in fact, I wish Taylor Swift, if we knew she was watching Vanderpump Rules, I would love if she saw Anne in the audience. It's like, Taylor's like, the Swifties are with you, Anne. Protect yourself. Anyways, Ariana's calling going like, listen, I want to know what his deal is. Is he bogarting downstairs? Because I'm going to go down there. And then, you know, it's just like I'm on the verge of like a full burnout. So I actually need an assistant. So I was going to ask you if you knew anybody. And Anne's like, and she puts her face right up to the FaceTime camera. And she's like, Ariana, can I be in the running, please? You know, like, oh my God, Ariana, please. And Ariana's like, oh, of course you can. Ariana in a talking head kind of explains, listen, Anna's suite deserves much better than my ex-boyfriend. I don't know if I can be the one to do it, but somebody needs to save Anne. Hashtag save Anne. And Ariana tells Anne, hey, you know, it's like, I don't want him, you know, I don't want him to get all pissed and stuff or be like, you're poaching my assistant, you know? And Anne's like, but I want to work for you for so bad. Please, please. Like, I felt like tears were going to be involved, like the snotty crying, like, please release me. I need release, please. Okay, now, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Like, that's a little weird. I mean, this is a little bit of a story arc, so I don't know the, you know, there's like certain like real stuff. And then there's certain things of like, oh, that'll fit with a little storyline. And obviously Anne doesn't love working for Tom, but it's a gig. Like if you're an actor, it's a gig economy. Like this is actually a day-to-day job. You know, we head on over to Creation Organics where Shorts is meeting with Lala and Shorts is like, Lala, hi. I got a theory about Shorts. Should I tell you guys now? Okay. I thought this since like that pool, the pool party at DJ James Kennedy. Schwartz seems like there's a lot of moments of like overly and subtle flirtation with Lala, but it's always positioned as a joke. It would be like, I mean, I could put my dick in you, and she'll be like, gross. Oh, I know it's gross. It's totally gross. That's why it's a joke. Don't you even know? But I could make out with you. I don't want to do that. Well, that's why it would be a joke, though. So I just like, of course not. I'm just so cute and like cuddly, and I have plants, you know? Like, there seems to be a lot of weird. And that's what I'm sorry. After this episode, I'm like, shit, probably Lala and Schwartz have already made up and they're just saving it for season 14. Like, it's just like, but there is these little moments, and I know I'm just watching too hard. Like, I think my brain's eating itself. Like, the cast, their brains are already eaten away, but there's these little jokes, and like, it just always seems like this subtle flirtation with, I think Schwartz is good at. Like, he subtly flirts with everybody and he's really charming and good at it. But he's like, oh, shucks, I'm just a teddy bear. I'm Teddy Ruxpin. I'm Schwartz Ruxpin. What are you talking about? Anyways, Schwartz, they're at this, you know, organic smoothie shop, and Schwartz explains to sober Lala. He's like, by the way, I'm in the midst of a sober bender right now. 3 days. We're going to do some health syringes. Is that offensive in any way to tell somebody sober that they're on a sober bender? I've got a real issue. I'm on a sober bender, man. I mean, put me away in like a day spa because it is bad right now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So, they're trying out you know, these things and like dates. And Lala's like, oh, it looks like dates. I bet I'm going to shit my brains out. And Schwartz is like, is this a date? And Lala laughs. No, my God, just dates. It's not a date. Just kidding. I'm kidding. That's not me doing a bit. That's the actual dialogue. This is what I'm talking about. He puts these just little jokes in there, just little feelers. Like, you know, if something like if Lala's down on herself one time and Pitt's like, well, you know what? What if I did kiss you? I'd be like, I don't know. You'd have to make the first move, but I wouldn't say no, right? I'm in the midst of a sober bender, so I'm not making the best decisions right now. They take this purchase at the checkout, and they're like, okay, everything's good. They're trying these health syringes, and Schwartz is like, okay, like, oh my God, these are like Jello shots across the street from Tom Tom with me, which are my favorite. Is that like high tops he's talking about? Anyway, Schwartz is like, should we just do like do it? And then they intertwine arms and suck on the syringes. I'm sorry. This is erotic. This is full on erotic at this point. And Schwartz is like, it was more liquidy than I thought it would be. And Lala's like, you're a rookie, yo. You just squirted on me. When I feel awkward, I make sex jokes or I talk about my vagina. And little Lala's like, you ran? What up, bitch? Yeah, you talk about me. Woo. And, but like I'm saying, Lala kind of flirts back too. Lala laughing goes like, oh, have you had sober sex ever in your life? And George is like, of course, when I'm in a relationship, I love sober sex. I was talking about this earlier. Why were you talking about this earlier? He goes like, of course, moderation is king or queen. I'm into the woman's movement, but like, I like the occasional bender sometimes with, it's so dumb. You know, but I do like the occasional bender with drug and alcohol. Sometimes I do wish Celebrity Rehab was still a thing with Dr. Drew. I mean, it was really a horrific show looking back on it. And I was like watching it every week, just like, oh my God, it's my favorite show. And now I realize how dark that is. But sometimes when like Schwartz is like, sometimes I just love to have sex on a real bender with drugs and alcohol. But he says it in such a cute way where I'm like, come here, let me give you a noogie, you little hardcore sobriety guy. He's like, but sometimes I do hardcore sobriety, like shots of vitamin B, working out, meditation, reading books, any John Grisham book, you know, doing this. I like both. But really, Lala, it's all about moderation. but I like to fall apart every once in a while, in a good way and in a bad way. That's fucking nuts. He said it so cute. Like, he said it like in a good way and a bad way. And I'm like, that's horrific. He's like, sometimes people can't track me down for 3 days. I've never given Sheena my location. I will literally just be lost. Sometimes I'll go under a freeway underpass and I'll just do weird things to myself. I don't know. Anyways, what are these syringes? And Lala's like, yeah. And Schwartz is like, hey, anyways, are you going to Ziggy? We just get off that topic of like, to me, I was like, let's lean in. And maybe that's the older I get where I'm like, maybe just more conversation about the, what does the fully falling apart mean? Like, what does that look like for you? Sometimes I won't even water my plants for weeks. Anyways, she's like, yeah, I'm going to go. Is Sandoval coming? He's like, yeah. And Schwartz is like, well, we saw Jax at TomTom. Oh, yeah, Jax, Tom. It's not like they hate each other. It's just that they haven't seen each other in like how long? Years? Schwartz, don't rewrite history. Jax fully did hate Tom Sandoval. Like, let's not do that. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, there is this curly cue in my hair. I just showered and there's this hair. I look like Dorit at the Beverly Hills reunion. I didn't even like, it's like Christopher Reeve / Dorit. I can't, every time I push this hair back, it just falls right back into my forehead. So I swear to God, it's not styled like that because I don't style my hair at all. Because sometimes I fall apart and then I just, you know, in a bad way. Anyways, we flash back to the Sir Alley in 2019, that holy territory. And Santa's like, that's the kind of friends you want? One that never question you, agree with you all the time? And that's what you can have, Jax. And Jax is like, the only person I'm having a problem with is you, brother. I also want to mention that at the end of the Valley episode one from last week, Jax is literally in the kitchen talking about Christian fucking some dude on the couch over there. And he's like, is that the kind of friends you want, Christian? I'm talking, I give you hard love. That's the kind of friend I am. It's just, this is just a pit of hypocrites. It's just hypocrites. So Jax is probably just remembering what Tom said in that scene, is now parroting him back to yell at Christian. Anyway, Schwartz is like, anyway, he powered through, persevered, yada yada. Man, they are loving Seinfeld lately. We get a flashback to last evening at TomTom where Jax is like, I don't really have anything else to say about it anymore. I think we kind of, and Schwartz is like, that's how I feel too. I think we've all said it, you know, I want the best for you. And Santa was like, likewise, dude, likewise. Ah, here, come on, I'll give you a hug. You don't got anything, do you? Am I gonna get VD from this hug? I'm kidding, brother. Bring it in, bring it in. And Schwartz is like, it was amazing, Lala. She's like, good. Yeah, I think I have post-Scandoval brain fog. It's probably that, or it could be the benders and like the extreme amounts of Molly and mushrooms, but let's blame it on Scandoval. When I see what Tom did compared to what we've all done, am I right? Am I right? Can I get an amen? I think everybody's cheated in some way, right? And Lala's like, yeah, of course. Well, everyone's cheated. We've all cheated. Like, everyone's done stupid shit, cheated, right? I was a make-out slut. I made out with Sheena like 12 years ago in Vegas. Like, this is so weird. Like, this, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to do a scene with Lala. That's scheduled. You have a crew show up. And so I'm wondering, did he already tip production off that this was going to be a revelation? And why now? Why did he do this now? Like, I'm so curious. Like, this just seems, something seems amiss in the bringing of this up, because Schwartz is pretty comfortable with lying. So why do a revelation when you don't have to? Why do that? And by the way, Schwartz very much is a makeout slut. I mean, very much is a makeout slut. Also, yeah, like, listen. And also, it's like almost positioned like Sheena's like one of the only people he cheated on Katie with. And that's also not, anyways. Schwartz is like, because Lala's like, what? And little Lala's like, what you fucking talking about? And Schwartz is like, nobody knows that. No one knows that? Yeah, I mean, it was so long ago. It was like the most innocuous thing ever. But like, I'm just saying, we've all, you know, we've all done it. Where was this, Schwartz, at the reunion? Where was this speech? Like, when your brother is getting like, calm down, poo-poo head, one with a mustache. Oh, grow up, man. Oh, the crocodile tears. You could have shouted out, I made out with Sheena in Vegas. And Brock's like, what the fuck are you talking about, brother? What? Like, why now? Why now of all times? And it's this slow chipping away, right? This slow chipping away. We see this in politics a lot. This slow chipping away of any kind of like, it's almost inching the line back on what any kind of morality should be. And everybody makes up their own morality. Everybody obviously makes mistakes. But it's so funny is that really by the end of the season, it's going to be like, Listen, if you don't get cheated on, it's not a good relationship. That's always been my motto. It is this slow chipping away at what we should expect out of relationships. Like, it's just like we're just blurring those lines continually again and again, because it wasn't like Schwartz did it once and then he learned from that. Like, no, it was like repeated. But also, I think the other thing is, I mean, it is a creepy story when you think about it, because Sheena's like, yeah, he just came up, he pulled me to the side and just like tried to lay one on me. And it's really weird, but Sheena's like a good time girl. You know, she was like, laughed it off. But this was different. This was a full-blown relationship that people were hiding. There was like feelings, alleged feelings involved. I mean, they went to great lengths to hide this. I mean, it was different than just a, hey, we're at like the circus in Vegas. And, you know, I'm feeling a little randy and let's have like a 5-second moment. It's different. And so it's weird when you're getting people to agree, like, isn't that right, Lala? Isn't that right? Anyways, Lala's in disbelief. And she's like, you made out with Sheena? When? He's like, ha, I don't know, but it was somewhere in Vegas. That's all I know. And she's like, pre-Katie? Well, me and Katie were dating, but it was like a rocky moment. Like the entirety of your relationship? Like, so if it's a rocky moment, that's like a green light means go. Lala seems speechless. And I will say, I think Lala is continually making horrible judgment calls. But I do, the one thing I do agree with her, I don't know if this is real or not, but it does seem like she is literally like, what the fuck? Who the fuck are these people? Like, she's almost feels like she's waking up, but I still think she's making horrible judgment calls. And I'm telling you, she just does it with such a confidence that it's like Schwartz pushing that line back, like blurring the lines. Lala does the same thing. She says it with such force and authority that you're like, well, maybe. And then you realize, what the fuck are you talking about? You change your opinion. Like, you know, I change my old Navy jeans. Like, well, not actually very often, but you know what I'm saying? It just changes it a lot. Schwartz in a talking head's like, okay, false equivalency. I know, but I just wanted to put it out there to really confuse the shit out of Lala and help my brother Sandoval. Let the record show, just as a reminder, we're all human. We all do dumb shit sometimes, right? And this is the summer of forgiveness. Yeah. Schwartz in the scene goes, well, it just popped in my head the other day. Sometime late last year, we were at a party, like around the holidays. And she's like, do you remember when we made out? And I was like, we did make out, right? We kind of made out. And I was like, so Sheena has dabbled in the group? I wouldn't say that. Maybe microdose, huh? And Lala's like, I want to be straight up with you, Schwartz. Hit me with it, Lala. I'm fucking over people lying to my face. And Schwartz is like, yeah. Schwartz is also, the subtext is like, wrong group, right? You're dumb luck. At least you're getting paid well. I hope the podcast is going well. Lala on a talking head says, Sheena and I have gotten extremely close. We've become each other's vault. And it just seems strange to me that at no point in time was she like, girl, I got to tell you something. I got to spill some tea. Like, what? Little Lala's like, I trusted Sheena. What the fuck? Why didn't she tell me any of this shit? Sheena's just nonstop talking about John Mayer. It's like, Lala's like, I've heard the John Mayer story a baker's dozen times. I've never once heard about Schwartz. And that's another thing, too. I will say this in Sheena's defense is like, she will like spill all of this shit, but this, she kind of kept close to the vest. So she does protect certain people. So, Lala's like, does Katie know? And Schwartz is like, no, I've never told Katie the honest truth about anything. He goes, I don't know if I told Katie. In Lala's mouth, Schwartz, you knew if you told you, Schwartz. Stop being a cutie pie. You know you didn't tell Katie, you knucklehead. Schwartz is like, whoa, 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 whoa. And Lala's like, I am so fucking dead. And Schwartz puts his head in his hands like, oh, shit. Oh, I did it again. Oh, Schwartz. Oh, you did it again, brother. Oh, there goes my sober bender. Okay, so it is later that day and we're at Lala's apartment in West Hollywood. Katie comes on over there and they're talking about dogs, whatever. And Lala's like, well, I'm going to pop a Starla. Mama don't have her baby tonight. You know, I have something to tell you. And Katie's like, well, in that case, I better actually have a strong drink with alcohol. And Lala's like, you may care or you may not care. But I was like, what? And Katie's like, what? Well, I had smoothies at Creation with Schwartzy, and he drops on me that a few years ago, Sheena and I made out in Vegas. And Katie's already frowning, but she frowns deeper. And Katie's like, what? What? And Katie in the talking head goes, what the actual fuck? Are you kidding me? I just have so many questions. Like, when was this? And where exactly was this? And was this the time that Schwartz said he went to Vegas and made out with one of Sheena's friends? And was it actually, in fact, Sheena? We flash back to 2013. We see these little young lovebirds in the back of the Sur Alley. And Katie's like, Sheena said that you made out with someone. And Schwartz is like, that is not bullshit. That's true. And Katie just looks hurt. Katie has been right all along, man. And I will say it's wild. That had to have been Sheena, or Schwartz made out with multiple girls in Vegas that time. And that's even darker because Sheena actually used that against Katie that season when that was revealed, that like Sheena was the one that revealed Schwartz made out with somebody in Vegas. But Sheena failed to mention that it was her. Like, this is so dark. The web of lies. It truly has been going on since the beginning of time. The Bible has shit about Vanderpump Rules in it. It's like, thou will meet a group of toxic individuals on the mount. They will disobey all of the commandments. It will be led by a lady with a British accent and a man that looks like he has a dog attached to him like a puppet.
Can you believe the Bible mentioned me? I can't believe that.
So Katie now in the talking head goes, there are just so many lies in this group. It's hard to keep track. That's what I'm saying. This is like every episode, the floor must just feel like it drops out to the fact where they're just like, they're just in permanent free fall, this cast. Like, their nerves have to be shot. Like, they probably wouldn't feel any real emotion anymore with anything. Like, it's going to be hard to get any kind of surprise reaction out of this cast because they've done everything to everybody. Like, there is no loyalty. Pit of vipers. Anyways, Katie's like, was I there? And Lala's like, I don't think you were there. And Katie's like, I can't think of a time he was in Vegas with Sheena and I wasn't there. And Lala's like, well, you're going to have to ask him because I wasn't around at that time. And Katie's like, did you ask Sheena? And Lala's like, well, I haven't seen Sheena. I wanted to talk to you about it first. That literally, the subtext is, I'm collecting a check. I'm making moves. I always think about Lala now this season. You know that song, like, teacher's pet. What is that, from Waiting for Guffman? Teacher's pet. I always like sing the song producer's pet when Lala comes in. Producer's pet, I'm making moves. Producer's pet. Like, you just said, like, my girl Sheena, we fucking get down with each other. We are so close. I'm shocked she didn't tell me. Anywho, gonna go tell Katie first before I talk to my good friend Sheena. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, you can't be that good of friends. Like, you literally are not talking to Sheena first. Lala on a talk now goes, well, I went back and forth whether I should talk to Sheena first or Katie first. You know, like, and Lala in the kitchen goes, well, I don't love that they kept that for so long. And Katie's like, yeah. And Lala in the talking head goes, and I decided that I need to talk to Katie first. I don't want to give Sheena time to make this a pretty picture. What a good friend. Amazing. And then we have a song coming and goes, I'm on top of the world. Look out. Top of the world. And we are now at Hotel Ziggy, the haunted establishment on Sunset Boulevard. DJ James Kennedy arrives with Ali. He's getting greeted by patrons ready to party. He's like, what's up, mate? I'm here, ready to sling the ones and twos. Have you ever heard Britney Spears' Toxic? I'm going to mash it up with Bittersweet Symphony. Ho! Brock and Sheena come in next, and Sheena's like, it feels like I definitely go with this vibe. She's wearing this neon watercolor wavy print mini dress. And then Schwartz comes in with our favorite, Joe. It's me, Joe. And Schwartz is like, Joseph, what do you want? I'll do a shot. Yeah, pull my finger. And Schwartz is like, I don't know why I ask you. You get the same thing every time. Every time. I get a tequila. I love you, Schwartz. Schwartz to the bartender's like, doesn't matter what kind of tequila. Patron, if you have it. And Brock's like, hey, gang. What's up, gang? And Joe turns around. Joe, by the way, is in a backward Tom Tom's cap. You know, just fully. Like, Joe kind of looks like he could be like an extra in that movie, The Sandlot. You know, an updated version of like, hey, that's Joe. She likes to, like, play baseball with the boys. Schwartz is like, look at you getting dressed up. And Sheena's, I guess, with her friend Madison, and she turns the conversation on her. And Sheena's like, well, this is very much the vibe, you know, and I wanted to get like a cute pic. And she makes these duck lips and holds up a peace sign. Sandoval comes in with Jeweler to the Stars, Kyle Chan. And Sandoval is wearing the white aloe baseball cap, which now we've seen on a couple times. But he's wearing like this tan Miami Vice suit, little baggy everywhere. But then the guy turns around and the back is cut out of the jacket. Can we stop with fashion? Have we gone too far? You know, it's like, just wear a normal jacket, man. No, dude, I gotta look weird, dude. I'm a rocker, dude. Like, come on, we don't need, like, come on. The back's out of the jacket. Like, what? Just don't wear a jacket. It's over it. Anyways, Ariana walks in solo and she looks awesome. She's in this like purple zebra striped dress. Camera shows Sandoval checking her out like, dude, what's up with that? I love the junk in the trunk, dude. And Sheena's like, oh my God, Ariana, you look so good. Can I? And Ariana spins. And Sandoval to Brock is like, Ariana looks great, dude. Yeah. Good dress for her. Ariana's got curves in all the right places, dude. Nice. He's like, Brock, I wanted to say something to Ariana tonight, but now I'm afraid to. But whatever. It's about the house and stuff. And Brock's like, hey, if you like, the first thing you guys should try and do is figure out how to start a conversation. You know, whatever it is. You can talk about sports. I don't know. I think we'd all like to see you and her try to figure out how to talk. We're doing a show. And Santa was like, okay, dude. Well, I'm getting ghosted left and right over here. It's like the lies I try to keep telling her about Raquel are coming back to haunt me, dude. DJ James Kennedy is getting ready to start the show. He's like posing. Like, I think half of DJing is just posing for pictures. I've just seen DJ James Kennedy give like the double deuces. He's like, what's up? What's up, Ali? Get one of me in the headphones. Get one of me with a record up on my face. Get one of me spinning these wheels of doom that I play. And Schwartz walks up to the DJ stand. He's like, James, what's up, bro? God, I went from bro to brew. Like, I can't even keep up with the kid. What's up, brew? And James is like, what's up? And Schwartz is like, good, good, good. Joseph in the house. And James is like, what's up, Joe? How are you? You call her Joseph, Schwartz? Huh. Yeah, I call her Joseph. And then Joe, in a monster voice, goes, Joseph, Joseph, Joe, Joseph, blah, 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 Joseph. I mean, she goes, Joseph. And Sheena is looking over at the exchange like, who is that monster? And she's whispering to her friend Madison. She's like, they're dating. They're totally dating. Oh my God. He is throwing the hot dog down there. Why are they acting like they're not dating? And Sheena and I talking to her goes, right now, I don't really have a reason to like Joe. She like literally drove with Raquel to go meet Tom in Big Bear and then left Raquel with Sandoval in Big Bear. This is true. This did happen. Sheena, we get a flashback to 4 months earlier at the reunion, and Andy's like, did you go on double dates with Joe and Sandoval? And Schwartz is like, no, we did not. And Lala's like, you went to Big Bear. But this is the other thing, too. Like I said, like Schwartz, nice guy and stuff like that, but Schwartz is lying. Sandoval was lying. Like it, you know, I know you didn't want to say that in the moment, but that's what I'm saying. Things will come out. Like 5 years from now, he's like, okay. We were dating. We were double dating. I didn't want to say it at the time. Sheena and I talking heads like, it was just a little homie hang. Like, come on, bitch. You knew. I love homie hang. What up? Let's do a homie hang. Sheena's back at Ziggy's to Joe. And Sheena's like, can I ask why you're covering the braid with the hat? And Joe's like, no, I'm sweaty. I'm sweaty, Joe. I'm very sweaty all the time. So I feel that, brother. And Sheena's like, okay, well, just put it in a ponytail. But the braids, don't cover them with the hat. That's all I'm saying. Like, show off your work. They are kind of like, it is a little bit like Stephen King's Carrie. Like, they're all going to laugh at me. Ah! I do feel at one point, like, you know, they're going to like dump a bucket of like red, like nail polish all over Joe. And they're going to find she has telekinetic powers. She's going to be like, and then like, she'll like shut all the doors with her brainwaves. And it'll be like, boom, boom. And then like Sheena will fly up against a door and then she'll put a hand that way. And the only person she won't touch is like Schwartz. I love Schwartz. Won't touch him with my telekinesis. Joe, but it is weird. It's like they are kind of like, hey, what are you doing? And they're, it almost like a little pushing, like, take off the hat, do it, take off the hat. And she's like, just put it in a ponytail, but the braids don't, come on, show off your work. And they take her hat off and they put it on the bar, and then Joe grabs at Madison. She's like, and it like jokingly shakes her, like, and reaches for her hat and puts it back on. Very physical. I mean, she would be good in like theater. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of movement. Madison is like, I love you, but you can't have it. And Joe's like, you gotta throw it in the pool, aren't you? And she's like, take the hat off. I'm gonna bully you. And then Sheena gets that emo screamo voice. She's like, take the fucking hat off. Take it off. And Joel points at Sheena and laughs overzealously. She's like, and she pulls her hat on tighter, like, you ain't taking my hat. You ain't taking my hat, Sheena. Joe in a talking head, very calmly, arms crossed. He's like, it's comfortable. It looks good on me. Chill. Sheena goes, you don't need to wear a tom-tom hat. You're good. And Joe's laughing, goes, it was the only one I could find. Pull my finger. Yeah, she's like living out of Schwartz's place, as in Schwartz's closet. Joe in a talking head goes, I've gotten a lot of hate from the girls. It's like 100% bullying. And it's like not fun. It's horrible. Now, this is sad, right? It is. But this was to be expected. Did anybody think when they found out Joe was coming on, go, well, that'll be nice. That's going to be really nice scenes. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of kumbaya, really nice moments with the girls. No, I 100% expected this. And like, that's what I said. The onus falls on Schwartz for putting his friend in this situation. Like, you shouldn't have done this. You really shouldn't have done this to her. But at the same time, I think she wants it. I think she wants the attention. I think she likes it. I've talked to many people that are in her DMs and she'll like, you know, she wants this. She likes this kind of attention. She does. I mean, she doesn't like this part of it, but she does like, you know, interacting and stuff. And somebody was like, because I said, hold me closer, Tiny Joseph. And I had that picture. Joe has the first picture you search for on Google. She's like in like a lion's pose, like a roar. And I truly love to watch her, but she's like, this person was like, well, you blocked her. Yeah. To that person, I blocked her a long time ago before she was on the show. I blocked her once I found out she was doing fucking double dates with Rocky and Sandoval and Schwartz. That's when I blocked her. I was like, fuck her. Like, I'm sorry. I thought it was gross. You can try to like reframe the narrative and we should like, oh, tiny violins everywhere. And I do have empathy and sympathy for her and, you know, ADHD and stuff like that. It sucks. Like it does. It's something, it's a, you know, and there, you know, you can take medicine, you try things, you know, very brave of her to come on in a way, but also it is a little bit self-serving because I do know she wanted this. But yeah, like, yeah, it sucks. It sucks to be bullied in any kind of form or fashion. And I think Sheena's pissed and Sheena does get into those kind of moments. And yeah, it'll be curious to see what Sheena says from this point on. And it'll be curious to see what Joe is like at the reunion. And I'm still thinking about that turtle she killed last week when she told the turtle story. Like that turtle better show up to the reunion. Like, what did you do to me? You dropped me down a grate, Joe. I know you've had a tough season, but what about me? I've literally the last 15 years been in the sewers. Anyways, Sheena to Madison's like, if you're a hairstylist, like sell your work, show your fucking hair. You have dope braids, show your braids. And Sheena's like, I don't know why you're always wearing a hat. And this is when Lawler and Katie arrive. So, you know, Katie and Lala arrive. Everybody's complimenting each other's outfits, boots. All right, let's have fun. And Sheena's letting everybody go and like, listen, I am drinking tonight. All right. Katie in a talking head's like, oh, Sheena, you don't drink very often. Well, maybe because when you do, you make out with people like my boyfriend. So I wouldn't be doing that if I were either. Now, Sandoval is, you know, with Billy Lee and Joe and Billy Lee's friend T that she's trying to pawn off on Sandoval. And Sandoval's like, hey guys, good to see you again. Have you guys ever heard of Burning Man? Yeah, all right. Sandoval to T is like, how you been, dude? And T's like, good, how about you? And Sandoval's like, chilling, dude, chilling. I'm all right, dude. Yeah, anyways, I like your dress. She's like, thank you, it's new. And then Joe's like, I like your face, kiddo. You're doing great. And Sandoval's like, thanks, dude. I'll tell my guy you said that. They're the group of friends that think they're hysterically funny. You know, they're like, oh my God, our banter's off the chain when it's not. You know, it's like a group of people that think they're funny, but, you know, they're like, thanks. I'll tell my guy you said that. And that's actually kind of not funny because Sandoval actually does have a face guy. Sandoval does have a face guy that he works with. Anyways, Lala to the group is like, is that Joe? And Ariana's like, I'm that girl. I'm looking around trying to see where, what? And Lala's like, what? Anyways, Billy Lee to Sandoval is like, the girls behind you, every time they look over, they're just like mean mugging. Billy Lee, where do you think you are? You're in the jungle, baby. Like, you know exactly what, like, come on. Yes, of course they're mean mugging. Yes, what did you expect? And Katie's like, she's a rat girl. Katie goes, she's a rat girl. Joe in a cartoon voice is like, I don't know what to do. And she's just like tugging on the hat. And Sheena is like, Should we be closer to James DJing so we don't feel like he's DJing to no one? Because everyone's by the bar and no one's by the DJ. And Billie Lee and their little group's like, Joe, why are you plugging your ears? Because Joe's like, nah, 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 I can't hear. I can't hear. Because I don't like it. I just yuck, 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 yuck. Joe in a talking head goes, the past year, these things that the girls have said about me. And while she's saying this, Katie, Allie, Lala, Ariana, and Sheena are posing for a photo. And Joe continues in a talking head, they don't go away. These girls would insinuate that I was a crackhead. And like that is, and by the way, we see the Katie's famous post where Katie's like, Joe is spooky. I mean, none of us could stand to be around her. Her energy is on par with a crackhead. She's a psycho. I will also light her on fire with Raquel. Jolene Lunzer, like on yesterday's show, if you heard that, she said she found and put up Joe is the first person that has ever referred to herself as a crackhead. And she's thinking that Katie had picked up on that previously. So, I mean, you know, listen, it still sucks to be called a crackhead. But at the same time, I don't think Joe's a crackhead. I think she's a meth addict. No, I don't think, like, I just think there's like certain high energy people. She does have ADHD and she's just a she's a character, you know, she is a character. Joe continues in a talking head. It's hurtful and harmful to anybody who has ADD. And Billie Lee to Joe, who's still plugging her ears, like, what is happening? Did you hear something? And Schwartz comes up behind Joe and Joe's like, what? And Schwartz is like, I saw you plugging your ears. Why is everyone? There was a moment. I don't want to. And Joe in a talking head's like, there is one thing to hear it on social media, but there's another feeling when you can see five girls and you just kind of feel like they're talking shit about you. That does suck. Yes, it does suck. You know, I do hope Joe in those moments realized that is what you were going to be walking into based on what they think of what you've done. And on top of that, you are like a whirling dervish just spinning around. So there are a lot of things, but yeah, it does suck. I don't think anybody would argue otherwise. So yeah, totally feel empathy with her in that moment. But you know, there are reasons. And Sheena's like talking about like, oh, I said the braids and the hair or whatever. Camera still shows Joe's got her finger in her ears and Billie Lee's like, what are you doing? And Joe's closing her eyes, shaking her head, trying to shut it all out. And Allie's like to the other girls are like, I saw Joe last night and she didn't like my straight up questions of like, okay, like, are you fucking Schwartz? So I said, do you find him physically attractive? And she said, yeah. And then I was like, well, do you have emotional feelings for him? And she said, yeah. And then she said, like my dad, which is a weird follow up. I mean, it is weird when you've had sex with somebody multiple times and then you're like, it reminds me of my dad. And then Ariana's like, she fucks her dad. And Lala's like, no, I can't go there. And Allie's like, honestly, she's like trying to come in peace. The camera shows Joe just adjusting her tom-tom hat again. She has this energy about her where she's like, and Katie's like, she's psycho, Allie, come on. And Ariana's like, girl, that was me a year ago. So Ariana and I talking to Ariana's like, that was me being Allie of like trying to stand up for Joe a year ago because Ariana used to stand up for Joe a year ago. And this is where Ariana and a talking head, it's like needle scratch. Like, how did we get here? She's like, before anybody starts boo-hooing over how Joe is treated by any one of us, know that Joe is a full-blown mean girl bully who did not give a flying fuck about spending Thanksgiving with me in my home while knowing that our mutual friend was fucking my boyfriend in my house. And it is not bullying for me to point that out. So that's like a real sobering statement. I don't think anybody can argue that because we even see a photo of them all at that Thanksgiving dinner. And Joe's in the background going like, links, like even being like Joseph in the photo. But yeah, man, Joe, those are hard things to come back from. And that's like even with Sandoval, if Joe like even pulled Ariana aside of like, I didn't know what to fucking do. Oh, God. Because I think when you're in those situations, you almost like trauma bond with the people that are fucking over the other people. And then you kind of like start like feeling cool about it and hanging out. And it feels like a secret mission when you're just being a douchebag. You're like, oh, it's Mission Impossible. No, you're just being a douchebag to Ariana. Anyways, Allie's like, I met her once, twice. I totally believe you guys. I just want to know that she can come to events or we're not going to come, you know. And Katie's like, well, I don't want her to feel like she can come anywhere. So Joe, Billie Lee, and T are moving from corner to corner and they're like about to walk past them. And Sheena's like, uh-oh, she's getting closer. And Joe's walking by. He's like, I'm uncomfortable. And Katie's like, I don't want her to feel comfortable, period. So if she feels uncomfortable, then I'm thrilled. Listen, that might sound harsh, But I, you know, it's so funny. Like, Tom can be as angry as he wants at everybody, including Ariana, but Katie, who has reasons, or Ariana has reasons, they're sometimes labeled these bad people. Like, there's nothing in society that says you have to be nice to people that have fucked you over. Like, especially when you've not gotten any kind of sincere apology. So trying to reframe the narrative in this of like, oh, it sucks to be bullied. Yes, it does suck to be bullied, but it also sucks to do the things that Joe did. There's like a lot of things to look at, you know? So Schwartz spots her and she's like, Joseph, what are you doing? And she's like, what's wrong? Are you crying? Joseph, what's wrong? Maybe it's because you call her Joseph so much. And Brock's standing there too, because she's in the bathroom now. And you can see producer Jeremiah there, and Joe's off camera. She's like, I don't like being attacked. I want to go home. And she's like, where's Joe? What happened? And Brock's like, hey, relax on the where's Joe? Relax there, Sheener. And Joe is with Billy Lee and T. And she's like, God, I hate this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But she doesn't seem like she's freaking out in that moment. So it seems like she was able to pull, you know, get those emotions under the, you know, underway. But I also wonder if there's a thought in there of Joe liking that Schwartz is like, Joe, what's wrong? Joseph. Like, if she kind of likes that attention too. I mean, because it is a traumatic environment, but she knew what she was walking into. She's seen every season of Vanderpump Rules. That's the other thing, too. Like, you know what you're signing up for in certain ways. Of course, that still doesn't take away from the actual reality of it. But I just think there's a lot of different things to look at. Anyways, DJ James Kennedy, he's rocking. He's like, don't put your drink there, Allie. You're not allowed to do that. Naughty, naughty. Because Allie put a drink down on like a record. Anyways, Sandra's like, can I get a Heineken Zero? Is this season sponsored by Heineken Zero? Sheena's standing right next to him. She's like, I'm drinking tonight for like the first time. So cheers. We'll see how this goes. Sandoval's talking to Kyle Chan, doesn't even hear her or is purposely ignoring her. And Lala's like, are you going to tell Sheena? And Katie's like, should we? And Lala to Ariana goes, I had like juice or whatever with Schwartz. That's a new thing of like, when Lala first was saying, I thought she meant beef, but then I realized they actually did have juice at the creation place. Like, dude, I have total juice with Sandoval right now. And it's like, oh, you had actual juice. And Lala's like, he's like, I know, you know, we've all fucked up, but like, I made out with Sheena. And Ariana's face is like, what? And Lala continues. And I was like, can we go back to that? It was like in Vegas. And Ariana goes, well, I made out with Sheena in Vegas, but is this the same time? And Lala goes, I don't know. By the way, Ariana, man, made out with Lala, made out with Sheena, laying it down. Way to go, Ariana. Lala goes, I don't know. I just don't know how to bring it up to her. I don't want to be like, yo, bitch, what the fuck? Well, I mean, you don't have to say, yo, bitch, what the fuck? You can just say, hey, can I ask you something? But Lala goes, it's also a little bit about, yo, bitch, what the fuck? And Lala goes, they said they were kind of joking about it during the holidays this year, he and Sheena. And I was like, I don't like that at all. The camera flashes to Sheena drinking and laughing with Madison and Allie. And Ariana is like, is this like an inside joke between you guys? And Lala like, that feels gross. And Kitty's like, that part like bothers me. So have you guys like joked about this before? Sandoval finally gets like, so the girls are all sitting there and Sandoval finally, you know, he's like, you know, Heineken Zero bravery comes up. He's like, hey, guys, sorry to interrupt. Hey, do you like those potato chips I put under your door the other day? Anywho, enough small talk. Real quick, Ariana, I don't want to bother you, but I just want to make sure that you got the email that I sent earlier, like a couple, like about a month ago. And Ariana just looks at him, you know, just like, and then like kind of turns to stone. And she goes, my lawyer has it. Looks away. And Sandoval's like, well, just, you know, I want to get things going, get things moving. You know, if you can just have him respond so we can, you know, start working on stuff, you know, and Ariana just doesn't reply, you know, and Sandoval's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. And Lala's like, what is it? What's this about? Lala tried to keep the conversation going. And Sandoval's like, oh, that's a great question, Lala. If with the house, you know, with the house. Yeah. Yeah. And Ariana just remains a statue. And Sandoval's like, well, just let me know, whatever, you know, it's been a little while, you know, I just want to make sure. All right. Well, have a good night. Oh, yeah. I'll leave you guys alone. Rock and roll. And Lala on a talking head goes, it is taking Ariana a long time to rid herself of this house. It's fucking weird. The brand deals are endless. Trust me, bitch. You're doing just fine. You can afford an apartment. This is where this shit doesn't fly with me and Lala. And I guess to some people that think, oh, yeah, that's dope. Yeah, it is weird. It's fucking weird that Sandoval is there. Why is the onus on Ariana? Yeah, it is fucking weird. Guess what? She said what she was going to do from the start. She got her house. She's moving out. And also, Ariana did stay in other places during this period of time. So that's something that it's like she wasn't just glued to that house. There were other things, especially when Dancing with the Stars was happening. So there was a lot of time both of them were not staying at that house together. But this shit, Lala, it just doesn't help. And it's like, what are you getting at? What piece of information do you have? Come out with it. Because each week I just feel worse and worse about you. And that sucks. You can't be the, like, I always think Lala wants to be the reliable narrator, but she's fucked up so much shit in her past. And then she's like, what I've learned about growing and healing. Have you learned about growing and healing just shitting on people that haven't really caused the situation? Is that something, is that some part of the four agreements that I didn't get to yet? I think that is the shittiest statement. And it just comes off of like, Lala's popping off into talking head. Lala gives good talking head. It's just shitty. It's just shitty. Like, how did this season turn into the girls turning on each other when we've got something right here served up on a golden platter, Tom Sandoval? And you could even throw Tom Schwartz in there, get a little heat on him. But no, we're having the girls, we're pitting the girls against each other. It's weird. Anyways, DJ James Kennedy's like, wow, the Ziggy outfits are on point tonight. All right. Sandoval is trying his best to sound interesting, wearing his, he's wearing his lightning bolt necklace, his lightning bolt earring. He's like, hey, T, my first job in LA was next to Skybar, next door at Skybar. She's like, really? Yeah, dude, I was a pool boy, a pool attendant, dude. And he's like, pool boy, so you're thirsty all day. Sandoval and I talking to his like, T seems super chill, dude, super laid back. You know she's going to let me raw dog her, dude. And Sam was like, hey, so T, are you good at bowling if you want to go? She's like, yeah, I'm down. Billy Lee's like, I did it. I officially pawned my friend off. Sandoval continues on talking about, I always think new dates with people I just met are a little awkward, but maybe it's because I haven't experienced it in a very long time. Which, like, the subtext there is like, I just fuck. I don't date. Like, this whole, like, I've got to get back there. Like, are you kidding me? Stop with this. Stop with the nonsense. We get a flashback to Kristen, you know, with Sandoval handing Kristen flowers. Like, look, I got these for you. They match you. Flashback to Ariana. Sandoval going, I love you. A flashback to Raquel going, Sandoval's like, they love you. And Rachel's like, I love you too. And Sandoval's like, I said, they love you. And she's like, oh. But it's just like the same pattern of behavior. And by the way, Sandoval being a pool boy, do you know one of my first jobs in Los Angeles was at this day spa, really nice day spa. I was a spa boy, a spa attendant. And it was primarily, it was in West Hollywood, a really nice place. But, you know, you would pass out water and towels. But my unofficial job in there, I've talked about this many times over the years, was to make sure guys didn't hook up with other guys in the spa. Because it was like, we had a membership program. And it was just like, shit would get nuts back there. Like, it was the weirdest. And I came from Arizona. And it was like, me and my buddies from ASU, we all worked there. And we saw shit. Like, we were just so innocent back then. We were like, wait, what's going down? Like, you would have to... Oh God, I have so many stories. I have the weirdest stories from that day spa. I almost did like a one-man show in my 20s called Spa Boy because there were just so many weird stories. Like, we would walk out of there, like the women's spa attendants got tipped nothing, and the guy spa attendants, we would go walk out with like hundreds in cash because all the dudes would like tip us. It was the weirdest job. I remember just going like, should I have even moved to Los Angeles? This is wild. It was so weird. So anyways, Sandoval and a talking head's like, it's time to rip that Band-Aid off and go on some dates. Woman of Los Angeles, you've been warned. They're the Sandoval on the loose. Darth Sandoval, come to the dark side, women of Los Angeles. I'm going to be inside you. What's up, dude? Do you like karaoke? Tom Sandoval on the most extras. DJ Tom Sandoval. Yeah. So, Katie... And meanwhile, leads Sheena over to an area, and she's like, okay, hey, I don't know how to bring this up because it was brought up to me in such an abrupt way. And Sheena's like, what? Is this about John Mayer? And Katie's like, apparently Lala had juice with Schwartz, and she was talking to him about Sandoval and how he's so over the top and everything. And he said, we've all fucked up, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've made out with Sheena. And Sheena's like, Schwartz said that? And Katie's like, yeah, he said you were in Vegas. And there's like a pause. And Sheena's like, what happened was me and Ariana were there with my mom and my sister for her cheer competition in like high school. I don't know what that, like, Katie, it was a cheer competition. I mean, nothing bad happens at a cheer competition. She's like, and Schwartz pulls me in this corner and kisses me. And Katie's like, when was this? And she's like, well, I think Shay and I were maybe just engaged. And they flashback. We get a Shay sighting from 2013 with Shay's like, you're like, will you marry me, Sheena? Of course I will. Oh my God. We got a Shay sighting, you guys. And Katie's like, why would he say we made out if you guys didn't like make out? And Sheena's like, we did not. That was not. No. Sheena, this is the point. Like, Schwartz is there. Why wouldn't you just like, hey, Schwartz, talk over here. Let's all be in the same room and talk about this. And Katie's like, well, saying somebody was trying to kiss somebody versus making out. And she's like, nope. That was not a make out. No. Can I tell you who I was making out with on that trip? Ariana. Like, I will throw Ariana under the bus.
Okay, guys, sorry to do this to you, but it's such a long episode. I had to split it into two. So at this point, just consider it like one of those cassette tapes or like a vinyl. You're going to flip over to part two of the Supersized Vanderpump Rules 9 recap. There is a lot to come. We're about to get into some messy stuff. And we've got a reappearance of Ken.
I can't believe he made a part two of the Supersized Vanderpump Rules recap. I can't believe that.
Okay, guys, thanks for turning on over to part two.
Bye. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.